Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Did you also know you can listen to Canty and Golic Jr. commercial free? That's right. You can listen to all your favorite ESPN radio shows and much more without ads on TuneIn, the best audio app for sports fans. Just download the TuneIn app and get started. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty. Lots going on today. We got the second national signing day going on in college football. We got the Senior Bowl practice that have been live on TV. Chris and I insanely distracted throughout the course of the day. Chris, I think mercifully the rain has subsided in Mobile and they've allowed these guys to go inside for the day, even as we saw multiple bellies exposed in the O-line and D-line group.
No, don't try to hump D-linemen into this thing, man. This is all the offensive linemen doing this whole thing. And I don't understand why you guys do that. It's not like it's hot down in Mobile this time of year. It's raining, for goodness sakes. Yet you insist on being able to pull up your jerseys chest height so you can have your full belly exposed. Nobody thinks that looks good. You're not sexy. So I don't understand why offensive linemen do that. It makes no sense to me.
You put a lot of work. You put a lot of time and effort in that body, Chris. You want to show it off.
No, like, but that's not the right. There's a right and a wrong way to do it, Gojo. And lifting up your shirt for your belly to show and the entire world to see is not the way to show off your sexy, because it ain't sexy. I'm sorry.
It sounds like a lot of gut envy coming from the D-line right now, Chris. I didn't take you for a jealous guy here. It's pretty unbecoming.
No, I'm not trying to be jealous. I'm just trying to do the world a public service by getting you guys to pull your jerseys down. If you want to show something off, you can show off the guns. That's why we do buys and tries in the weight room on Thursdays and Fridays, Gojo. But I don't need to see your belly, bro. I don't. It's completely unnecessary, especially when it comes to trying to play football. And in this instance, you're applying for a job with the NFL. I don't think NFL coaches and scouts need to see all that.
Listen, NFL coaches and scouts are going to be at the Combine in Indianapolis looking at everybody in their underwear in a few weeks. So.
That's a fair point. Maybe I'm just giving them a little preview, a little tease.
This one at least leaves something to the imagination. There's a little more behind the pads right here, but you got to pay our respects to the OG man, Chance Warmack, making bellies great again back in the day. So
get
I'm just
in
saying.
My belly.
He never made bellies great.
Oh, he made him spectacular.
No, he didn't. And on top of that, he wasn't great in the NFL. I hate to take shots at Chance Warmack. It is what it is. Maybe there's a lesson to be learned in that. Be less concerned about your shirt being tucked into your shoulder pads and your belly showing and be a better football player.
You know what? At Mike Golic Jr. and at Chris Canty 99 on Twitter, I need a picture of the greatest athlete to ever play football with their bellies tucked up here. Got to be over 285 pounds. I'm not talking about Ezekiel. I don't want to see Ezekiel Elliott or any of the throwback Cowboys or any BS like that. Fat guys only apply on this one. At Chris Canty 99 and at Mike Golic Jr. Who is the real OG, the one deserving of our praise as a lift up your jersey all-star here in the Belly Olympics? Oh, man, we're going all the way back to Andre Smith didn't lift up the jersey, though, man. He just had a rough combine 40 time there.
But he didn't need to run shirtless, though. That wasn't going to make him faster. Nobody wanted to see all that jelly jiggling all over the place. I don't understand it.
It's
completely unnecessary. It's not going to make you faster. Guess what? Newsflash for offensive and defense. Well, maybe more for offensive linemen. NFL teams don't care how fast you run the 40. You don't need to make yourself aerodynamic. All you need to be able to do is prove that you're a good athlete, and the tape will show that you can actually move people. If you can do those two things, then you're going to get the job. It's okay. We don't need to see your belly.
I'm trying to remember now, because seeing your belly in all of this is the least of the worries. Remember that player at the Combine that had the blowout of his bike shorts where all of a sudden his junk leaked out at the end
of it? Yeah, Chris Jones.
Oh, is that Chris Jones?
That's Chris Jones, yeah.
Oh, my God.
He turned into an all-pro.
Let that be the lesson. Forget the belly. Take your advice from all-pro Chris Jones. Let it all hang out, fellas. Let it all hang out. God in heaven.
Oh, my God.
This has been your pre-draft coverage, courtesy of Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN
Radio.
Completely
off the rails.
Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty, God help us all here. They're going to send us to Indianapolis to cover this now. I can feel it in my bones. But, Chris, you know what? This has been a much-needed laugh for all of us in the last couple of days. Because, man, the reality of what we've had to talk about with everything going on in the NFL right now has been a lot less fun to deal with. Brian Flores and what we have seen now, the allegations in the form of a class action lawsuit against the NFL, the Giants, the Dolphins, and the Denver Broncos alleging racism and hiring practices has now been also added to by the allegations that he was offered money by Dolphins owner Stephen Ross to lose games. Hugh Jackson, the Cleveland Browns' former head coach, also accused the Browns of paying him to tank back in 2016 and 2017. He's going to join SportsCenter at 6 o'clock on there with L. Duncan and Kevin Negandhi. So I'm sure we'll be rolling on that, Chris, but that seems to be what this is going to be about now, right? We talked to Amber Wilson earlier, ESPN radio host and lawyer, that a lot of this legally is probably going to have issues actually having teeth. But the court of public opinion and the pressure that this puts on the league from the outside, if we get more people like Hugh Jackson willing to come forward and put tangible evidence in the hands of people in the media to look at this information, maybe that can finally push this towards something was a realistic resolution.
Yeah, that has to be the play for this, Gojo, because I don't think the lawsuit is going to lead to substantive change, and I don't think you're going to find that Brian Flores and his legal team are going to be able to get active coaches on board with what they're claiming, what they're alleging in the lawsuit. So it just seems like a situation where they're trying to put pressure on the NFL through the court of a public opinion. That's why Brian Flores and his team were on ESPN with Get Up and Greeny this morning. They were on other morning shows with other media outlets. And they're trying to create the narrative that, well, not even create the narrative, but push the narrative that we all already know exists, which is the disparity when it comes to hiring black coaches at the head coach spot within these different organizations. And so I would applaud Brian Flores for doing such, because he's sacrificing his own career in the process to address an issue that we all know exists, yet the NFL has been reluctant to address in a meaningful way. And so hopefully this leads to other people that have receipts with these NFL against these NFL clubs coming out and presenting the facts to the media outlets, to the fan bases, and forcing the NFL to go in a direction that it's been unwilling to go. Because, Gojo, we know that the NFL, if they were able to change something about this, if they were able to make it a fair and equitable process when hiring head coaches, they would have done so by now. The Rooney Rule has proven to be ineffective, and in a lot of instances, it's a sham because these owners have in their mind who they want to hire already before they interview the minority candidates. So it just seems like this is the next step in terms of trying to create a fair process for black coaches to actually have an opportunity to be a head coach.
Yeah, Chris, I think in talking to Jason Reed earlier, ESPN senior NFL writer, about this, he said, you know, privately, he's heard from a bunch of people who support what Brian Flores did. But publicly, as far as active NFL coaches, it's been tougher to come by. And Chris, honestly, I can understand that, because it's a tough ask to say, hey, sacrifice everything you've worked for the greater good. Like in this instance, Brian Flores seemed to have been angered enough by the tangible evidence he presented, allegedly of text messages from Bill Belichick, stating clearly that he had already was getting ready to interview for a job that had already been given to someone else based on the allegations in those text messages. Chris, it seems like that hurt drove this, but for everyone else, I can understand coaches of color around this league who have worked their whole lives to get to this point not yet willing to sacrifice that, because they still got to feed their families too, and they still got to live the dream that maybe they've had.
And to that, I would say, Gojo, let's go with the hollow slogans that the NFL has painted on the back of helmets and in end zones. It takes all of us. When it comes to social justice, when it comes to equality, it takes all of us. And so they have a charge, just like Brian Flores said, felt like he had a charge when it comes to whether or not it's a meritocracy when it comes to these head coaching hires, when it comes to actually finding the very best candidates, when you realize the disparity, when you understand a system is broken and that there are black candidates, they don't have the opportunities that you are then afforded, you have a responsibility to step forward and say something. You do. There's no way that anybody can convince me that there's only one black head coach that's worthy of having that job with all the assistant coaches, all the coordinators that are black in the National Football League. We've got 32 jobs, 27 of them are filled. Only one is a black head coach. You can't tell me that it's a meritocracy when it's a 73% black league with the players as the employees. You can't tell me that there's a shortage of former players and people that have been in and around the game of football at the highest level that don't want to be in the coaching staffs or don't want to be in front offices. You can't convince me of it. So we have to recognize this disparity exists because of a bias that the owners have when it comes to hiring black head coaches, and we've got to do something to fix it because the owners are unwilling to fix it on their own volition. So something has to happen, and those head coaches that are in place, I get it. You want to feed your family. This is something you worked all your life for, but you also have a responsibility. If you are somebody that's advocating for social justice in our society, if you are somebody that's advocating to end racism in our society, you have to start with cleaning up your own house, and that house would be the NFL. And something stinks inside of it, and that is black coaches not having an opportunity to be head coaches in a fair and equitable process.
Yeah, we'll see if that can come to fruition, because, again, Chris, my fear in all of this has kind of been the way we've always looked at this, that this is ultimately a problem in the decisions made by ownership that won't change until we are aged out of some of these older owners who have been in these positions for a while in favor of hopefully a generation of people more willing and more open-minded when it comes to this particular front. That is what is at the center of all of this, as Brian Flores' allegations against the NFL in a class action lawsuit. We will see where that leads. We will hear from Hugh Jackson coming up at the top of the hour at 6 o'clock on SportsCenter. But coming up next, we got to get to a proposal here. Chris Canty walks in front of this nation and asks that we finally right an egregious wrong and create the holiday that this nation deserves. That's next here, Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Ian Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. And it is already Wednesday, guys. We are into the month of February. We've got the Super Bowl coming up next week. But lest we not forget that people don't forget.
Hey, Greg, why don't you go f*** your pants again?
That was like 8 years ago.
People don't forget. Forget.
All right, Chris, starting things off here, as we remind you of what's gone down here, I want to put this out here because we have heard people campaign for this for years, and Cincinnati Public Schools have gone ahead and done right by this situation. The Bengals are heading to the Super Bowl, and Cincinnati Public Schools have amended the academic calendar, giving students and staff the day off after this upcoming Super Bowl here. Chris, this is a move that should be adopted nationwide. We've campaigned for it for years, and I don't know why people haven't gone on board yet.
Yeah, the day after the Super Bowl should be a national holiday, and I get it. We do have President's Day a week later. I don't know if the NFL has to tweak the calendar so that the Super Bowl falls on the Sunday before President's Day, but it needs to be a national holiday because there's always that Super Bowl hangover. People are getting together for Super Bowl parties. The game doesn't kick off until around 6:40, so it's going to go late into the night with the extended halftime show. So it just seems like a natural spot where everybody can celebrate the game of football. It's the last game of the season. Let us enjoy it without the worry of having to get up early in the morning and having to go to work and punch the clock. I think that folks need to have the opportunity to just kick back, cut loose, and enjoy the friends and family and watching football for one last time in that given season. It just seems like something that has to happen, Gojo. And I really don't care how the NFL has to get there. If we got to talk about lobbying for an 18th game in the regular season, so be it. It's more football. But the Super Bowl, the day after the Super Bowl, needs to be a national holiday. And good on the good folks in Southeast Ohio and Cincinnati community for getting this right and making sure they give the kids and all adults a day off from school and a day off from work.
Chris, I know you're putting this on the NFL. I would put it on local politicians, too. I mean, if you want an easy win here, run on the platform of I will give my constituents the day of the super after the Super Bowl off. Like CPS board member here, Cincinnati Public School board member Mike Morawski, told the Cincinnati Inquirer, students in the district are typically off the Monday after the Super Bowl, but this year the academic calendar didn't line up with the Super Bowl at SoFi in Los Angeles, and so the Bengals reaching this title game made them change things around. They understood and had the right priorities. Politicians, you want an easy win. We're giving it to you right here.
Gojo, I'll say this too. You're talking about that turning into a second Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Like, I mean, that's also, I mean, people flying across the country, going to visit friends and family, knowing that you have that Monday off and it's the Super Bowl. Why wouldn't you Like all the food. Think about the spreads that some of these people have for their Super Bowl parties. It's essentially a second Thanksgiving. And who wouldn't sign up to have a second Thanksgiving? I'm just saying it's the best holiday on the calendar because you don't have the pressure of gift giving. Now you get to have two of them? Come on, man. Yes. That's something that everybody can get behind.
And Thanksgiving rightly gives you the buffer for your hangover. Super Bowl Monday needs to do the same thing here.
Yes.
We will not stand until justice is served on this front. Now, Chris, speaking of wins, tell me if this counts, because coming up in this upcoming Super Bowl, we've got Matthew Stafford representing the Los Angeles Rams as their quarterback, former Detroit Lions number one overall draft pick. We've also got, as a part of an extensive halftime show, Eminem, the Motor City's very own 8 Mile represented here. Chris, does this count for a win or an embarrassing loss for Detroit fans?
I think you have to count it as a win, man. I mean, I understand the organization was so dysfunctional and they had everybody thinking that Matt Stafford wasn't a winner when it mattered the most. But I mean, come on, man, to see your prodigal son, a player that came of age in the NFL with your franchise and your city have this level of success, you got to celebrate the wins, man. Matt Stafford took the Lions as far as they could go, given the issues that they had with leadership at the coaching ranks and in the front office. So I don't blame this on the Detroit football fans. They can feel proud that Matt Stafford is in the Super Bowl. And in the fact that you have Eminem performing, doing his thing, I think you have to look at it as a win. I'm choosing to look at it as glass half full, and so should they.
This post from at Hannah Francis said, Stafford playing, Eminem performing, this is the closest Detroit has ever been to actually being in a Super Bowl. And that is a painful truth, which is why, Chris, I think you're right. People got to choose happiness. It's why my Christmas tree is still up in February of 2022. You got to choose the things that bring you joy. Detroit fans, you all enjoy this one because I don't know if you deserve it, but we're going to say you do for the courtesy of this conversation.
Wow, come on, man. Don't take shots at Detroit fans.
It's more, you know what? It should be more the Detroit organization. Like, give Megatron the money. Like, that's really what this is all about. I think they're going to make that right pretty soon. But, Chris, speaking of real trolling, how about this? I appreciate this from New York and Philadelphia media, because as Tom Brady announced his retirement after 22 years in the NFL, a local NBC station in New York tweeted this. Tom Brady, who lost 2 Super Bowls to the Giants during his legendary 22-year NFL career, retires. See his full message here, not to be outdone by Bleeding Green Nation for the Eagles, who tweeted, Tom Brady, who lost his Super Bowl in Super Bowl 52 to the Eagles, retires from the NFL. And NBC Sports Philadelphia, man who could never beat Nick Foles decides to stop trying. These are artistic endeavors from these news outlets that we have to applaud.
Well, yeah, they're trying to have a little fun, take shots at Tom Brady in the few wins that other teams around the National Football League were able to have against his teams. But make no mistake, the fact that everybody is tweeting about it just shows you the level of greatness that Brady was able to achieve, because you typically don't see that from guys stepping away from their respective organizations, even if they're guys that we know will be first ballot Hall of Famers and walk into Canton with gold jackets. You don't get everybody, every team's Twitter account, responding to the news that a player is retiring, unless this player is considered the greatest quarterback of all time. And that's the case when we start talking about Tom Brady.
I just have to say, the best one to me, Fox 29 in Philadelphia, Tom Brady, known for dropping a pass in Super Bowl 52 and failing to shake Nick Foles' hand, has announced his retirement from the NFL. That is your reminder that people don't forget. Speaking of that, we'll have Gotham Chopra, the director and executive producer of Man in the Arena, joining us at 6:15 Eastern.
Hello!
Chris Canty, going to try very hard to contain his excitement. But coming up next, let's head to our nation's capital. The football team that plays in Washington now has a different name, but has anything really changed inside that organization? We'll get to that next here. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. And we are about, I'd say, 9 whole hours into the new regime. The Washington Commanders, as their Twitter account tweeted out, the NFL football team in our nation's capital. One legacy, one unified future. We are the Washington Commanders. And for more on how this has been received and what's gone into this, we head to the hotline to talk to Bruce Johnson, author, retired anchor, and reporter at CBS WUSA TV9 in D.C. Bruce, what's the feeling today now that we have an official resolution to the two-year-long name saga surrounding the former Washington football team?
Yeah, Mike, Chris, good talking to you guys. I listen to you all the time. Love what you do. I think there's a sigh of relief. It's not a great name. It's not a bad name. It's certainly not a controversial name. And I think they took the middle ground, and I think most people are going to learn to live with it, especially if the Commanders learn to win. I think everybody can rally around this. And I say it because this is Washington, D.C., and the other professional sports teams all play it safe. We've got the Nationals. We've got the Capitals. We've got the Wizards. You can't get any more vanilla than the Wizards. And so the Commanders fits. I'm a little disappointed in the logo, if you will. The W is fine, okay, but the logo it looks like a seal of a private university or college. No imagination in that at all. But we've got what we've got. So just now add a quarterback to all of that. I think the fans would be happy.
Nail on the head. The name is not controversial, which is exactly what the brass from the Washington Commanders was looking for. But I'm curious as to how the organization moving forward will honor the tradition and the history and the past with trying to move forward with that while also acknowledging the misstep of having the name Redskins around a lot longer than it should have.
Yeah, you know, when you talk about the past, it's like which past? Which past are you talking about? The immediate past, the Washington football team? Are you talking about the Redskins, the last team in the National Football League to have a black player? And he came here reluctantly. Bobby Mitchell, good friend, former neighbor of mine, late Hall of Famer. He reminded me that when he was with the Cleveland Browns and played in the backfield with Jim Brown, they would run up the score on the Redskins just because they didn't have any black players. So that team, went on, to win a lot of Super Bowls for us. You know, winning cures a lot of things. Got rid of that owner. Jack Kent Cook, I wouldn't say was the most beloved owner, but he was about winning. If you look at Redskins games at RFK Stadium that actually rocked, you probably saw some of the most diverse crowds you ever saw at an NFL game. But fast forward, Dan Snyder takes over the team after Jack Kent Cook. And it's been hell to pay ever since. I think I can speak for most Redskins fans when I say he's probably been the worst pro sports owner this town has ever seen. There's no goodwill, no feelings toward this guy. And I think people would be a lot more happy if the team were sold.
And we know that's going to be at the heart of this as we're talking to Bruce Johnson with us on Canty and Golic Jr. How has the tenure of Ron Rivera head coach, Jason Wright is the team president here, people that were brought in, we saw from the outside in large part to help erase some of the stench around what Dan Snyder had done there. How far has their presence gone in kind of bringing some goodwill from the fan base around there?
You know, there might be some goodwill, but people have been through this before with Dan Snyder. You know, he had a reputation for going out hiring the biggest name, Deion Sanders. I forget the guy's name, the big guy from Tennessee Titans, you know, that sort of thing. The guy's going to change everything, put people in the stands. Gimmicks, it all works during the off season. We had some of the best off seasons, you know, including the hiring of new coaches. It goes on and on and on and on. It's a carousel here. But eventually it all came down to just a bad team and the bad organization. We haven't won a playoff game since when? What, 20, 22 years? Those Super Bowl years were a long, long time ago. We're talking, what, 88, 94. We're back, you know, with Joe Gibbs. Fans deserve a lot more. And it's not just that. It becomes personal when you talk about Dan Snyder. Dan Snyder is the owner who expanded the seats, you know, out at RFK Stadium, got that. But he also developed a reputation for suing some of the fans who couldn't pay for their season tickets. Everybody got caught up in the winning, the Super Bowls, and Joe Gibbs, and the players that we could all name by name and position and that sort of thing. But then when you found out that Dan Snyder was actually taking people to court when it turns out they couldn't pay for their season tickets. And so those are the kinds of things that put, you know, a bad taste in everybody's mouth. He cut down trees on his property so he could have a better view of the Potomac. And then not to mention this latest investigation. Keep in mind, this is Washington. We're accustomed to investigations here. We're not accustomed to investigations where you don't find out where they end. We do know, you know that more than $1 million is paid out, you know, in a settlement to a woman. We don't know the content, you know, of what was in that settlement. We don't know. We haven't gotten to the bottom of what's really wrong or what's going on with this franchise. And I think it all adds up. And then you throw losing on top of all that. It's not a good vibe, you know, the fans are getting from this franchise. And the naming of these people that you just named, it's not great. You know, black presidents, black general manager, you know, Mayhew, who actually played for the Super Bowl Redskins. Doug Williams, still loved here. But it's not enough. Ron Rivera, very much loved it. Upstanding man. You know, he battled cancer, and we went through it with him and everything. Everybody loves this guy. But it's not enough. They've now got two losing seasons, okay? This one worse than last year. I think next year, you know, and what they do with the quarterback situation. Get us another starting receiver, and let's see what they do. You got to win. You have to win. And at least not lose in the way that they're losing, okay?
That's certainly been the issue for the Washington football team. Now the Washington Commanders has been what's going on the field, and we'll wait to see if that does change at all with the name now. Bruce, we appreciate the time and the perspective of all this. Thanks so much, and hopefully brighter days ahead for the football team, whatever its name is in Washington.
Thanks a lot, fellas. Really appreciate it. Talk to you later.
Bruce Johnson, again, author and retired anchor from Washington, D.C., covered that team for a long time, kind enough to join us here on Canty and Golic Jr. And, Chris, that really is the bottom line. Like, in all of this, for them, it's been the difficulty. And this year, you know, it was supposed to be Ryan Fitzpatrick. Taylor Heinicke comes back for some money. You're able to be close to the playoffs at the end of the season. I know you had bought into that team, and rightly so, a lot more than I had. But this is going to be another one of those big off seasons where we talk about all the veteran quarterbacks on the market. We talk about a lackluster draft class. And all eyes are again going to fall on this team to wonder what the hell you're going to do as the rest of your division seems to be taking at least some steps forward.
Yeah, that's the big question, is what they do with the draft capital that they have and how they plan on addressing the quarterback position moving forward. Because Taylor Heinicke is a great story, but Taylor Heinicke is a limited quarterback. And ultimately, if you don't have a difference maker at that position, it's going to be hard to have sustained success. So we will see. They do have a person in the building in Ron Rivera that knows about being able to put together a winning program. It's just about being able to give him the resources in order to turn the page when it comes to the previous chapters in the franchise's history and get this program on solid footing. So a lot remains to be seen. Dan Snyder is still at the helm of this thing, so I don't have a ton of optimism, but let's just judge them based on what they do moving forward.
And we'll see what they do moving forward. And since we like to pride ourselves on being a show that provides options, coming up next, let's give the Washington football team, now the Washington Commanders, a potential option at quarterback this offseason, with one guy who believes he will be on the market and is working with his team to make that happen. Next, here on ESPN Radio.
Tomorrow on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the Rams went all in, and now they're headed to the Super Bowl. GM Les Snead joins the guys to talk about the moves they made and how they're paying off. Les Snead, tomorrow morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max at 9:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio. This is ESPN Radio.
Kenny Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Jumpstart the new year with Body Armor Light, the low-calorie sports drink hydrating your active lifestyle. Shop now at retailers nationwide. How about jumpstarting this, Chris? Pitt Panthers coach Pat Narduzzi. Now, I'm seeing this clip. I am assuming this is him responding to what we talked about earlier here with his former quarterback not electing to have his hands measured down in Mobile, Alabama. Pat Narduzzi went on to say, quote, "It's a complete joke measuring this, measuring that. If they want to measure anything, what they should do is open heart surgery. Go check and see how big that chest cavity is and how big the heart is inside that chest if you really want to analyze. Welcome to the Indianapolis NFL Scouting Combine. Give us your organs."
Wow, I didn't think that Coach Narduzzi was going to take it that far. I get it that he's caping for his guy, but it's something as simple as having your hand measured. I mean, I got to assume that NFL scouts aren't going to put too much stock into that when they see the tape that Kenny Pickett was able to put out there this past season. That's really all that matters, Gojo. I remember a scout was telling me that 80 to 90% of the grade is done before you even get to the scouting combine. So I don't know how, you know, reluctant he should be about having his hand side measured, how fearful he should be that that's going to be used against him when it comes to his draft status or his draft stock. I just feel like there's something that's nondescript, and it's something that every prospect goes through. So why not do it at the Senior Bowl and at the scouting combine? It just doesn't make any sense to me. It's not performative based. Your hand size is your hand size. It's not going to change. So what's the harm in having it measured?
Exactly. Just because Kenny Pickett has Whopper Jr. hands doesn't mean the NFL needs to hold that against him. And it certainly doesn't mean that we need to be doing open heart surgery. They get enough access to players' bodies at the combine. We don't need to let them crack open the shell.
I'm with you in that 1,000%. Although I will say it's not the best thing for your rep on the street when you got them itty bitty hands like Kenny Pickett. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, he's going to have to get his story straight on that one. Maybe.
Yeah, you got a lot of splaining to do, homeboy.
Yeah, no, that's a different conversation inside. I think the NFL is not legally allowed to ask you those questions inside those draft meetings anymore going on at the combine. So, Kenny, you might be safe for the time being. But in the meantime, speaking of another quarterback, well, I don't think his hand size has come under fire or, quite frankly, anything about his physical appearance. Let's talk about Jimmy Garoppolo's handsome ass, because apparently, Chris, heading into this offseason, Jimmy Garoppolo said to 49ers fans, quote, "It's been a hell of a ride. I love you guys." And has also now said that he expects a trade from the San Francisco 49ers and wants to be sent to a winning destination. He says that he's talked to John Lynch, their general manager in this front office, about trying to find a destination that puts him in that winning spot. And Chris, who's going to explain it to him?
I'll be the one to do it, Gojo. I don't think that there's any team that looks at their roster and says we're a Jimmy Garoppolo away from getting to the Super Bowl, because Jimmy Garoppolo was on a championship contending team and has shown at various points in individual seasons that he's not good enough to get your team the dub. We saw it in Super Bowl 54 down in Miami against the Kansas City Chiefs, where they blow a 10-point lead and he misses the deep shot to Emmanuel Sanders that, when in effect, would have ended the game. And then we saw it in the NFC Championship game against the Rams. You had a 3-point lead going into the fourth quarter and you end up somehow, some way, on the last two possessions, not being able to do anything. Or you went 1-for-6. And you had a delay of game penalty, and the one completion that you made was for -3 yards. And then, oh, by the way, you threw the interception that, in effect, ended the game. So I'm sitting there looking at the landscape of the National Football League and teams that could be in the veteran quarterback market, either free agency or trade. Teams like the Pittsburgh Steelers, teams like the Denver Broncos, the Washington Commanders, the New Orleans Saints, the Carolina Panthers. And I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo makes sense for any one of those teams. Certainly, he can be a bridge to whatever you're doing long-term at the quarterback, but he's definitely not the answer in terms of your team competing at a high level in 2022. That's just not going to happen with Jimmy G.
Yeah, Chris, I think this is the honest conversation about Jimmy Garoppolo, because from defenders to detractors, all of the above. Jimmy Garoppolo is a perfectly fine quarterback. He is not your plan A if you are a winning franchise anymore. Jimmy is the gap player, like you said. Jimmy's the one if you miss on one of the big fish at this point. I will never forget talking to Dan Orlovsky, our ESPN NFL analyst, back on the morning show. And he said when he went through that transition from being a guy that had been a starter at times in the league to being a backup, and a conversation he had with a coach that said the difference between backups and starters in the NFL is really about a handful of throws every game. Your ability to capitalize, come out, and affect the game on 5, maybe 6 throws. And when you can't do that, that's how you end up as a backup. And Chris, we've seen in the pivotal moments, those are the throws Jimmy misses. He can make plenty of the rest of them, but he has missed on those 5 or 6 critical throws a game, which is why he's going to be the stopgap guy, the high-level backup guy, not your full-time starter for a winning team.
Let me be clear, Gojo. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is one of the 32 best quarterbacks in the world. Yep. So that's saying something, but he's a lot closer to 32 than he is to number one. And that's what he has to come to understand. He's got to get to that realization, but I think most people in NFL circles already understand that.
And I think we'll see that borne out as Jimmy Garoppolo is trying to affect his future now that he knows it is not going to be with the 49ers. Coming up next, though, we will look at the future for Brian Flores and what his lawsuit against the NFL will hold next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+. Plus.